Well, good evening. It's good to see each one of you here tonight. Let's stand together. If you don't mind, turn to page 278. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5 tonight. I am resolved. Page number 278. Let's sing it out together. I am resolved no longer to linger. Sing it on the first verse.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He saith, do what He willeth, He is the living way. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee.
Amen. Great start tonight, Pastor.
Amen. What a blessing. Well, sure good to be back in the Lord's house tonight. This is the resolved crowd, amen. And the Wednesday night, the oasis in the middle of the desert. And man, I'm telling you, it's good to come in and be around God's people, have some fellowship, sing some songs honoring and glorifying our Savior, amen. And then to hear from the Word of God tonight. So let's pray, ask God's blessing on our services tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Gary Clark if you would pray for us, brother. And why don't you be seated tonight. Of course, we do have some announcements need to make here very, very quickly. If you have kids in Faith Baptist School, certainly a busy week this week as well as next. A lot of things going on. Tomorrow night is our graduation and awards ceremony. And so that will start at 7 o'clock, usually last till around 9 o'clock, in the evening. And so I want to encourage you to be here, for, that. If you have kids in the LTR class, the learning to read class, their last day of school is this coming, Friday. And so make sure that you're aware of that as well. And then, of course, next, week, Monday through Wednesday is the half days. And then, of course, the last day of school, which is basically the Silver Dollar City trip. That'll be on May the 2nd, which is Thursday. And so, again, these are all the things coming up with the school as we finish up the school year. Sure, thankful for the good year we've had. Amen. And looking forward to that wrapping up this year. Did want to also mention this. Of course, this coming Sunday, we'll have our regular services, and the Sunday night service, Brother Tim Quinlan, our youth director, is going to be preaching, and we're also going to conclude our faith promise cards and kind of totaling everything up. And so if you haven't filled out one of these, please make sure that you fill it out and you turn it in the offering plate. That way we can get a count as to where we are at on our faith promise. As of right now, this was after Sunday evening's service. We are at $88,615. And so thankful for that. But I'm praying that there is certainly some more still out there. I know last year we were, I think our faith promise was around $146,000. And so some of you guys got to quit procrastinating, all right? And get it, listen, get it done. Pull the trigger, son. Pull the, okay, anyways, just trying to help you. Some other things coming up in May as we kind of change over. Me having our outreach on Saturday, May the 4th, at 10:30 in the morning over in the fellowship hall. And then, of course, Sunday, May the 5th, be celebrating our 68th church anniversary. It's also Friend Day, so we're asking folks to come and be a part of our services. Brother Rocky Harrell is going to be here and preaching. He pastored there in Tulsa, Oklahoma for many, many years and has been a staple there at Heartland Baptist Bible College teaching Baptist history. He's a good friend and a good brother, and looking forward to him being here with us. Going to have a regular morning service times and then a dinner on the grounds over in the E.J. Watson Gymnasium. It is barbecue themed. I know it's Cinco de Mayo, so you, whatever you want to do, but I'm just telling you, I'm making barbecue, all right? If you want to put it in a tortilla, you go right ahead. And then we'll have an afternoon service, right after that. There'll be no evening service or Bible study that Sunday, so again, mark your calendars for that. May the 13th through the 16th is Heartland Baptist Bible College graduation week, and so I will be gone for that week and down there. And then Wednesday night, May the 15th, Brother Keith Drinkard, our church planter over in Leawood at Ironwood Baptist Church, he's going to be here filling the pulpit. I would have staff, one of the staff guys do that, but they're all going to Heartland too. I don't. But anyway, we got somebody graduating, I think. And anyways, excited about Luke Quinlan, thankful for him, and looking forward to that. May the 19th is a teen activity, and then, we're getting ready for camp starting in June. There'll be a camp meeting at the end of the month. So quite a few things coming up in the month of May. Make sure you're aware of those things. If you have your prayer list tonight, let's go ahead and get those out. And and I think I set my prayer list down somewhere. So, but that's all right. I think I can remember everything. So there was one that we needed to add on. It was Brother Rich Raymer's friend, Will Lloyd. And so we need to add him on for salvation. And I believe his name is spelled W-I-L-L-O-Y-D, right? So he's missing an L in Will and an L in Lloyd. And I noticed that, but I thought that was pretty neat. But do pray for him and his need to be saved. We have quite a few families going through bereavement right now. I know the Yoder family was mentioned last Wednesday night. That's a pastor there in Oklahoma. His 16-year-old daughter was hit. She was riding her bicycle to work and was tragically killed. And so just a difficult situation there. And then also Brother David and Miss Sherry Griffin, who are traveling on vacation, got a text from them last week. And their Brother David's friend, Rick Sanders, that we've been praying for health issues. He had went on hospice and then ended up passing away very tragically. And so I believe his funeral service is tomorrow. And so if you could pray for them, certainly pray for some others that are traveling. Brother Donnie and Miss Marilyn Carr also got texted with Brother Russ Jackson today. He's traveling as well and still got a couple of weeks left. And so just pray for these that are on the road. And then a lot of folks dealing with medical issues and things like that. And so we need to pray for them. Brother Bob Nugent, I know, has some tests. And so if you would remember him in prayer, and just many, many others. I know Miss Laura Stanfield is getting, Miss Georgie's sister is getting to come home in May. And so praise the Lord for that. And that's a real blessing, but do continue to pray for her. Does anybody have a prayer request or an update tonight as we go to the Lord in prayer? So, Brother Gary. Praise the Lord. Now, what was her name again? I don't have my prayer. Yes, Dorothy Haynes. Yes. Sorry, brother. Wow. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So he's still dealing with the gout. And if you know anything about that, it is incredibly painful. So. Mercy. Amen. Well, praise the Lord for that. So let's continue to pray for Gary Waters Sr. and remember him in prayer. So, okay. Anybody else tonight? I saw him. Yes, ma'am, Miss Kristen. May the 17th. Okay. So, yeah, last time I talked with him, he was getting ready to go. So, or go to see the surgeon. So, May the 17th is his surgery. Okay, praise the Lord for that. That's a blessing. I know he's anxious to get that done. So, anybody else tonight? All right, let's go ahead and have our men come tonight. And let's pray for these. A lot of hurting families tonight and a lot of burdens and needs. And but I know the Heavenly Father that's faithful. Amen. And so let's pray for these things tonight. Brother Steve Parker, would you pray? And I also meant to mention this. Brother Jack Parker flew out yesterday to Idaho. And so he's going to be in Idaho and Colorado this week. And so certainly remember them in prayer for safe travels. 9 days away from wife and kids. That is no fun. So, Brother Parker, would you pray for us tonight?
Let's all stand together, please, one last time tonight and turn to page 634. Page 634, we'll sing the first, second, and last verse on Jordan's Stormy Banks, verses 1, 2, and 4 tonight.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. All o'er those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There God the sun forever reigns and scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest? I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Amen. Great singing tonight. Let's go ahead and remain standing and get your Bibles out and ready for the message this evening.
Amen. So I've been forgetting everything today, so I thought I would sit on the other side of the platform tonight and maybe the other part of my brain would start working. Amen. And hopefully that would help. All right. So take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of Titus tonight. The book of Titus tonight and chapter number one. We've been preaching through the pastoral epistles and we finished 1 Timothy. I guess it was about two or three weeks ago, I guess. I can't remember the time frame there because I can't remember anything else tonight. So, but I do know where we're at tonight. All right. And I know who my name is, but don't ask me how old I am. All right. Titus chapter one tonight. Look at verse number one. Okay. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Now, I want you to notice that the end of verse number one, it's a semicolon. The end of verse number two, it's a semicolon. And it continues on and says in verse three, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And notice again, semicolon, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. And so we're going to stop there tonight and kind of look at this introductory statement here of the Apostle Paul. You say, man, preacher, you're going to preach the introductory statement of the Apostle Paul? Well, yeah, I am, because he doesn't write, Dear Titus. I mean, if you just look right here, there's just a truckload of things that you and I need to chew on and grab a hold of. But really, I think what you're going to find as we dive into this is that you're going to see that everything that's kind of taking place here is really geared towards the theme that the Apostle Paul is getting at that we'll see here in just a moment. So let's pray and ask God's blessing tonight on the message. Father, thank You tonight. Thank You for church on a Wednesday night. And God, I'm so grateful that we have people that still know and understand, not just know and understand that we need to meet together, but want to meet together. And they're faithful tonight and in the house of the Lord. And I pray that You would bless tonight as we go through the book of Titus and we begin our study tonight. I know that it's been very busy over the last several days, and certainly going to be that way with the school winding down and all of those things. And so, Lord God, just asking that the Spirit of God would just take over tonight, not just the meeting, but even me tonight, that You would fill me and that You would use me tonight as Your vessel. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you be seated tonight? I think that it kind of goes without saying here, obviously, that we are starting the epistle of Titus tonight, which really is another son in the faith, if you will. We see that right there in verse number 4. And it's like what we saw in 1 Timothy, Paul's son in the faith, referring to Titus that way as well. They're obviously going to be. I think that any of us tonight that have read through 1 Timothy and read through the book of Titus, you've done any kind of studying through it or Sunday school lessons or preaching on it, whatever the case may be, I think we would all understand tonight that there's going to be some similarities between these two books, as both men were given very similar responsibilities. This is the way I put it tonight in my notes, where Timothy was left in Ephesus to establish sound doctrine, Titus is going to be left in Crete, the Isle of Crete, to set things in order. Notice verse number 5 of our text. It says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting," meaning the things that are lacking. And so really this becomes, in essence, the theme of the epistle, much like sound doctrine was the theme to 1 Timothy. The obvious difference to me immediately jumps out is this, the length of the epistles, where Timothy was 6 chapters, Titus is 3. And as you read through Titus, you realize it's a condensed version of 1 Timothy with a few bonuses, as Paul kind of touches on similar doctrine that he does with 1 Timothy. But here's what I begin to see is this. You realize that the encouragement that we saw in 1 Timothy is not really, that there's not as much of that found in Titus, because Titus, as often has been said, seems to be, if we could say it like this, the internally tougher than Timothy. And I don't think that that's a slight on Timothy. I just think that's the way God makes men. And Paul understood that, and that's just the difference where Timothy was sent to Ephesus, Titus was sent to the slow bellies. What do you mean? Well, we're going to see that. We're going to see where that's what they're called in verse number 12. That one of them says that the Cretans are always liars and evil beasts and slow bellies. I mean, that's kind of sounds like the area we live in. Amen. Kansas City, right there. That's the reality. That's what he's saying. But you understand where Timothy goes to Ephesus, which maybe would be a little less, not quite as difficult. Titus has a much more difficult ministry here, kind of setting things order in Crete. And so Timothy needed a little wine for thy stomach's sake, as he's dealing with, you know, he needed to drink the grape juice. Titus, well, he just gets on with it. He's like a machine, man, and just, let's go, let's get after it. Mongo, go, all right, go. And so he gets after it. So, but here's what we're going to deal with tonight. So that's kind of the introductory kind of into the book of Titus. But here's what we're going to see tonight. As you and I begin to understand that the theme of this epistle becomes setting things in order, to set things in order, you have to have a sure foundation to build on. You understand what I'm saying? Otherwise, things will not stay in order long, or you'll never be able to get them in order to the way, certainly, that God intends for them to be. And what I find is this, is that in this greeting, if you will, this introductory thought here from the Apostle Paul to Titus, he really begins to show us this foundation. I want you to go back with me to verse number 1. And I just want to kind of emphasize some words, and hopefully you'll catch on to these things. Notice here it says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the, and notice this word right here, truth. Did you catch that? According, which is after godliness. Now look at verse number 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, alright, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His Word. Am I catching this? Alright, through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So you kind of get the understanding here that the Apostle Paul is, I mean, if we could say it like this, you know, whether you want to call it an innuendo or whatever, I believe that all down through this, he is alluding to the truth, meaning, thus saith the Lord, the Word of God. And that is our sure foundation, all right? And because here's the thing, God cannot lie. You understand that? And so here's the message to us tonight. See, some things in our day get out of order. Churches get out of order as they were here. Homes can be out of order. Marriages can be out of order. The lives of men can be out of order. And so for any of those things to be set back in order, what I'm saying to you tonight is this, the Bible has to become our foundation. Has to become our foundation. We must submit ourselves to its authority in our lives, and this puts us on the fast track to setting things back in order. Listen to me tonight. It's a great danger when truth is rejected. Let me say that again. It's a great danger when truth is rejected. It's also a great danger when it becomes subjective. That means this, where we assert ourselves over the authority of it, and we become a critic of it rather than obedient to it. Is everybody catching that? Or here's the other thing. Or we even get to this place where we sit in a setting such as this, and we hear truth on a consistent basis, yet it goes in one ear and right out the other, and we refuse to make it the foundation of our lives. We ultimately become as James warns, where we become, well, you know, hearers of the word only, not doers of it. And I love the way that James puts it, deceiving our own selves. Because that's the reality, friend. Listen, when you're coming into the house of God, and inwardly you're at strife with God, and you're not obedient with God, but yet you're trying to put on the show outwardly, I'm telling you right now, that is deception, and you're the one that's living in it. And what God's waiting on is for us to humble ourselves to the obedience of His Word and make it the authority of our life, and for it to be the sure foundation that we set things in order upon. And that's ultimately what we're going to see here tonight. And so, really, I think the question for us tonight is this, is the Word of God your foundation tonight? Is the Word of God your foundation tonight? I couldn't help but to think about when I first came to Faith Baptist Church and they took me over and showed me the missions house. And some of you know where I'm going with this, that's on our property there, but we had to go through the back door to the house to get in because the garage doors wouldn't even open. And, then I walked inside and there was just stuff everywhere, junk scattered all throughout the garage and the main, floor because some things had already been, demoed, but it was just a mess. It was, if I could say it like this, it was out of order. You understand what I'm saying? And certainly there were a host of things that needed to be done. I mean, the garage doors needed to be fixed, the driveway and sidewalks and, all of those things, the house layout needed to be redone. Walls needed to be reframed and set, and doors and sheetrock and flooring. And listen, the list goes on and on. All of the stuff that thankfully we have over there now, and I'm very, very grateful for that. But what I'm saying to you tonight is this, is that one of the big causes as to why things ended up in such a mess and none of these things worked was because the foundation of the house had become unstable and began to move. And so what we had to do, the very first thing that we had to do was call a foundation company out. And they came out, they raised the foundation back up to where it needed to be. They put in pillars underneath that to stabilize everything to ensure that it would not fall back down. And this is what I begin to think about. Have we tried to do everything that needed to be done up in the main floor and all of those things and upstairs? Here's the thing. If we'd done that first without doing this, it would all messed up. You know why? Because the foundation would not have been stable in what it needed to be. And folks, what I'm trying to illustrate to you tonight is this. That's exactly the same principle that can be found in the spiritual realm. Churches, homes, the personal lives of God's people, even the lost tonight. Listen to me. It's all unstable without a sure foundation. And such was the case of the churches in Crete. And what I want to say to you tonight is this, such is the case of many a church in our day and time. Hence the emphasis in this introductory greeting from the Apostle Paul circles around, just seems to kind of emphasize and circle around truth and the commandments of God and the Word of God. All of those things intersect, meaning to say this, thus saith the Lord. That needs to be our foundation tonight. Well, why? Because if you're going to set anything, if you're going to set things in order in the spiritual realm, I'm just telling you tonight, it starts with this and being built on this. According to William Henderson, the opening greeting to Titus is longer in words than all but two of Paul's epistles, which are Romans and Galatians. In fact, he said this, it's very similar to the book of Romans. Robert Sorensen called it a complex introductory statement. I would agree. It's like I said, he doesn't write, Dear Titus, won't you set things in order? So you understand tonight, what I'm trying to get across to you tonight is this. This is no ordinary introductory statement here. It's jam-packed full of doctrine. It all centers around the fact that the Word of God is truth. It's as if the Holy Ghost of God knew the responsibility that Titus had in setting things in order in Crete. I said that tongue-in-cheek. Hopefully you got that. He did know. And so here he is using the Apostle Paul to pin down, even in this introductory greeting to Titus, in highlighting the Word of God, the commandment of God, the truth of God, and all of that. Why? So that Titus can understand that if I'm going to set things in order, if I'm going to help churches set things in order, if I'm going to help God's people set things in order, if I'm going to help lost man set things in order, then we've got to understand that the Word of God has to be our foundation for that. Has to be our foundation for that. And listen, it's not going to last and it will not work. And the same holds true for us. Let me show you some things tonight from this. I think you'll find very interesting. The first thing that I begin to see as I just kind of look through these first four verses was this, is I believe Paul offers up here some proof, some validation of truth. Listen, as with any claim, you just because the guy says this, well, it's worthy of, it's stable, it's our only foundation. Well, just because the guy says that doesn't necessarily mean it. And so as Paul opens up here, he gives some things to add validity to this, that the truth is the Word of God. Well, what do you mean? Well, here's what I would say. I would say one of the things that begins to come to the surface right here is this, is that the Word of God rests in the character of God. And if it does, then, well, that makes it true. Well, why do you say that? Well, look at verse number 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. What he's saying here is this. He cannot lie. God cannot lie. You understand? I love the way Sorensen brought this out as I was reading him. He said this. He said, it's not that God will not lie. He cannot lie. I like that. It's not, listen, what he's saying is this. Please listen to this. It's not within his character.
It's not within His character as God to lie at all because He is without sin. So He cannot lie. Now, you and I would say this, a little different with us. I mean, you understand, it's like the Bible says, we come out of the womb speaking lies. I didn't have to take any of my children and sit them down and go, listen, honey, now here, listen, this is what you do. This is how you lie. I didn't have to do that with any of my kids. They learned it on their own because it's within our sin nature. Now here's the thing. It's the Bible that declares that, which all the more shows the truth of the Word of God, how true it really is. It shows us who we truly are, that we're sinners that need a Savior. The proof of God's character, listen to this, the proof of God's character in that He cannot lie. You understand tonight, and I realize many of us probably do, but here's the thing. That is seen all throughout the Word of God. You understand, we talk about general revelation, special revelation. General revelation is just God generally revealing Himself. He does that through creation. He does that through our conscience, all of those things. But special revelation is the Word of God, how we can know God personally. We can know of who He is. We can know what's demanded of us, what's required of us, what we must do to please Him. And we also can understand some things about Him, His character. The Word of God doesn't tell us everything about God, but it tells us everything we need to know about God in order to live a life that's pleasing unto Him. And it certainly declares His character all throughout the Word of God. And certainly one of those things that it proves time and time again is that God cannot and will not lie. He can't lie. Time would not permit me to cover all of these in great detail tonight, and you need to understand that. But let me just give you some of these things. You ever thought about this? Real science always agrees with the Word of God. When science proclaimed that the earth was flat, God already proclaimed the earth was round. Science just had to catch up with God. In Isaiah 40 and verse 22, it is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. I guess the flat earthers on the internet today aren't really going to like that either. When science was discovering things like the law of gravity, God already mentioned in His Word in Job 26:7, He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. And again, time would not permit me to deal with all of the sciences found in the Bible, biology, astronomy, physics, and the list goes on and on. Creation. But here's the point. We're living in a day where science is proclaimed as truth and the Word of God is ridiculed when really it ought to be the other way around. Because some of these so-called sciences of men today are not really science, true science at all. And it would be, listen, what I'm saying to you tonight though is this. It'd be really dangerous to make science your foundation in life as opposed to the Word of God that's been proven time and time and time and time again. Listen, if there's anything that I could just kind of pour out to you tonight, it would be to say this, that God's the Creator of life. God's the giver of life. God's the one that created all of it. And He knows how to make it work. And the greatest thing that you and I could ever do is to take His Word and make it the foundation of our life. Because my friend, you will find it sets things in order in your life. Archaeology also backs up the Word of God. It's amazing. God accounts for multiple people groups and their existence throughout the book of Genesis. A great example of these are the Hittites. But for decades, historians and archaeologists have questioned the authority and accuracy of God's Word. But then they went over and dug in those regions, and lo and behold, the Word of God is true. History also supports the truth of God's Word. It's often been said, history is His story. For me, one of the greatest examples of this is found in the book of Daniel. As God would begin to speak to Daniel, gave him visions of the upcoming empires that Daniel would be allowed to see that would follow Babylon that he was currently in. Daniel saw Persia and Greece and Rome, and Daniel received that vision some 400 years before things would completely unfold. And now you and I are on the other side of that history, and we can look back and see this. God cannot lie. Listen, God had it right down to the letter. I mean, He described Alexander the Great, the four generals, his early death, all of those things, the rise of the Roman Empire. God's Word got it all right. Listen, I'm telling you tonight, all of these things, the world has their holy books, but I'm telling you, there's only one book that's holy and has never failed. I'm telling you tonight, listen, but the greatest proof that God is not a liar is prophecy. The Bible is almost two-thirds prophecy. Did you realize that? And all that has been fulfilled, listen to this, has been done with 100% accuracy. The greatest evidence of this surrounds the promise of Jesus Christ. And listen, I don't have time to deal with all of these things tonight, but you think about His birth, the place where it happened, the virgin birth, all of that, the lineage out of the tribe of Judah, His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection on the cross of Calvary. Listen to me. All of these things were given some centuries earlier in the Old Testament, and Jesus Christ fulfilled them right down to the jot and the tittle and the things that were left. Guess what? He's coming again to fulfill those. And when it's all said and done, Jesus said this, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall not pass away." You understand tonight? Listen, it's amazing. In fact, something that's interesting about Titus in this verse. Look at verse number 3 here. Catch this right here. Look down at verse number 3. He says, "But hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior." Now look at that. Look at that title right there. God our Savior. Did you see that? Now look at verse number 4. "To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior." You mean, does Paul say, is he saying Jesus Christ is God? Well, I think definitely so. The Lord Jesus Christ. The point is this, it's no wonder that Jesus is the Word. That was pretty good. I didn't see that one coming, preacher. He's the Word. He's the fulfilled Word. Because He is God. Listen to this. And He cannot lie. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, now here's the thing. So he kind of lays it out here in verse number 2 and says, hey, listen, this is the truth. It's the foundation. And God cannot lie. Here's something else to notice there, though, too. Look back in verse number 1. Because he says, "Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness." See, something else that adds validity to this, to the Word of God being truth, is the calling of apostles right here. Let me explain to you what I mean. Much like 1 Timothy, Paul highlights his calling as an apostle. And I love the way that he does it here. He's a servant first. Though he is a servant first and foremost, Paul has also been given the office of an apostle. These were men specifically called by Jesus Christ who witnessed His resurrection. Are you listening to this? They witnessed His resurrection and then they were used to pin down the New Testament Word of God. To account for salvation being accomplished for all of mankind. Now here's the thing. Now you can go, if you want to tonight, you can go to 2 Peter 1:21. It's a great verse. But here's what it says. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." You understand what he's saying? He's saying this. This isn't done by the will of men. This is holy men of God who spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And no doubt we could say the exact same thing about the New Testament and the apostles that God used to pin down the Word of God to continue to show the fulfillment of the Old Testament Scriptures. The office of an apostle, listen to this tonight. It does not exist today. I am so sick of hearing the charismatics say this. It does not exist today. And the reason that it does not exist is because they do not meet the qualification that's given in Acts chapter 1, where you have had to have seen the risen Savior in order to be an apostle. That's what the title apostle means. It means witness. Witness what? Witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so you understand, it's they don't meet the reminder of Paul's apostleship right here reminds us that what's being pinned to Titus, and it reminds Titus here of what's being pinned to him, is also the Word of God. You understand that tonight? See, you understand, they didn't have it all just yet. They didn't have it all just yet. And so they had the Old Testament, and the New Testament is being put together by all of the apostles, and the Holy Ghost of God's moving through John, and He's moving through Matthew, and He's moving through Paul, and He's moving through James, and Peter, and all of these men, and He's using them to pin down the accounts of Jesus Christ and the Gospels. And Paul now is writing these epistles to these churches in Galatia and Rome and all of these places. And now Paul is written Timothy, and he's writing Titus, and him proclaiming his apostleship is to say this, that what comes out of this pen right here, Timothy, it's the Word of God. It's truth. And it's given for you as a foundation to follow in your ministry. Things like, listen, I'm just telling you, but it also reminds us of this, that anything outside of this, it's not the Word of God. Things like the Apocrypha. Is everybody catching this? That the Catholics added in later? Because the Protestants that came out, and by the way, we're not Protestants, but the Protestants came out and their cry was sola scriptura, which is the Bible alone, to which the Baptists have been saying that the whole time. If anybody came out of anybody, it was Catholics that came out of the Baptists. But you understand, that because of that cry, well, Catholics by this time had all this false doctrine, so they threw the Apocrypha in because it helped support a lot of their false doctrine. But it had been rejected books for centuries and years, and here's the thing. So that was all Old Testament stuff added in there. But then after the New Testament and the apostles, then some centuries later, you're going to have the Gnostics that rise up and they write down a bunch of crazy stuff and nonsense. And here's the thing. Why would we want anything outside of a firsthand account of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, you know, I just can't believe you'd say the office of the apostle doesn't exist today. We don't need it. Though they be dead, they still speak it. We have a first-hand account of the risen Savior. So here's the point tonight. And I don't have time to deal, because see, we're now in an English-speaking people. This was all pinned out in Hebrew and Greek and all. But here's the thing. Let me give you the platform tonight. If you have an authorized King James Version of the Bible, you have the preserved Word of God for the English-speaking people. It is truth. It is absolute truth. It is an accurate account of creation, the history and preservation of Israel, and the Messiah's coming and death and burial and resurrection. And by the way, it's going to be that which by all mankind is judged, the Word of God. You understand that tonight? It's accurate. It's been proven. And I'm talking about the Word of God, but yeah, even the authorized King James Version of the Word of God, it's accurate. It's proven. It has stood the test of time. And it is worthy, listen to me tonight, it is worthy to be our firm foundation. Listen to this. As pastor of Bible Baptist Church, it is the authority for our faith and practice. It is also to be the authority in your home and in your marriage and in my home and in my marriage and in your life and in my life. And the moment you step off of this, you're headed for out of order. They're headed for out of order. Now, we're not done. We're not done. I got 5 minutes left. Because there's something else. Because he doesn't just lay it out and go, hey, Titus, this is the Word of God. It's truth. And it's based on the character of God. He cannot lie. I'm a God-called apostle appointed by Jesus Christ. And I'm writing you under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so God's leading me to pin down the Word of God. It's not just that. It's this. It's also what the Word of God produces. And you begin to see that throughout this. Look at this. Look down at verse number 4. Oh, don't worry. This is not the end. We're going to go backwards. Listen, I've been forgetting stuff all day. I might as well do it backwards, right? Look at verse number 4. To Titus, I love this. I love this. Watch this. Mine own son after the, what's that right there? Common faith. Isn't that awesome? You understand? You want to know what the Bible doesn't proclaim a faith to a specific people or special people. It proclaims a faith available to all people. You and I, listen to this. You look down at verse number four. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. You understand tonight? You and I can have this same grace and mercy and peace that Titus could have. We can call Him the Heavenly Father just like Paul could. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You understand? We can share the same faith as Paul and the other apostles. Why? 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 Because it's a common faith. But it has to be based on the Bible being the foundation for your life. This is what I thought about. It takes us all the way back to 1 Timothy and what he said as he's laying it out to 1 Timothy in chapter 1 in verses 15 and 16 where he says this, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should after believe on Him to life everlasting. Paul had persecuted the church. Paul had thrown people in prison, testified against them, had some put to death as a result of it. That's why he says, I'm the chiefest of sinners. But at the same time, that's why Jesus came. And if I can be saved, here's what Paul said, if I can be saved, anybody can be saved. Because that's why Jesus Christ came. It's to save sinners. It's a common faith. It's a common faith. It's available to every person. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. God can save you. God can cleanse you. But you got to come. Listen, you got to come the Bible way. This is what I thought about. The Calvinist loves verse 1 where he uses the term elect, but he sure misses verse 4 in common faith. You understand what I'm saying? God didn't predestinate some to heaven and some to hell. No, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Listen, God wants every person to know Christ as their Savior. Here's the other thing it produces. Look at verse number 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, God already had a plan. That's what it means by elect. God had a plan before the whole world began. We're just stepping into God's elected plan. How about that? That wasn't even in my notes. That's all free tonight. I won't even charge you for that one. But here's the thing. Once you become part of this common faith, here's what he says. You and I have the hope of eternal life. And please listen to this tonight. Don't miss the word hope. It is not used. Well, you know, I hope I get a new boat. I hope I get a new set of golf clubs. I hope I get a new gun. I hope I get, listen, that's all what men thinking right now. Later's like, I hope I get new shoes. I hope, whatever. We use that in a vernacular that says this, I wish for something. When you see the word hope in the Bible, it never means that. Listen to me, it always means confidence. It's not a hope so salvation tonight, it's a no so. I can know that I am saved and I can have confidence in the truth of eternal life. Well, how do you know that, preacher? How do you know that when you breathe your last breath or you're going to open your eyes in eternity and see the Lord Jesus Christ and all of that? How do you know that? Because I have a foundation. Am I getting this tonight? In fact, I'd say this, one of the surefire results of not being in the Word and the Word not being a foundation of our life is this. We'll struggle with confidence in the promises of God. We'll doubt. We'll struggle internally with unbelief. We will experience fear. I'm sure none of us have never had that happen before. But the child of God that's built up on the Word of God and knows that the Bible is true, listen, I'm telling you tonight, it works in my daily life. It's true about my salvation. And here's the thing, I can know this tonight. If He lives, that means this, I'm going to live with Him eternally one day. Because the Bible is my foundation. Now look at verse number 1. Here's something else. This is everybody's favorite subject right here. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, listen to this, which is after godliness. You make the Bible your foundation in life, it'll produce godliness in your life. The power of the truth of God's Word is that once it enters into the heart of man, it begins to change man from the inside out. It brings about godliness, righteousness, holiness. Look up here. Order. All of a sudden, the guy finds himself cleaning up his life, getting away from the addictions of the world, changing the way he talks, the things that he does, the people he hangs out with, the way that he dresses, where he goes, everything about him. I'm just telling you, I can testify of that. Listen, here's the thing. When I got saved and I struggled and battled and God had to chasten me and deal with me, but I'm thankful that I got to the place where I started getting my face in this book. I started listening to preaching on not online because we didn't have that back then. I praise God we didn't have that, mercy. But we had an independent Baptist church in Pensacola that had bought an FM radio station back in the day and played 24/7 preaching, and I loved it. No matter what time of the day it was, I could get in my truck and turn on the radio and there would be preaching. And man, I would be driving down the road and getting my face ripped off. I'd be crying and getting right with God, and God would be doing, listen, what I'm saying to you, but here's the thing. All of that produced a change in my life. He cleaned up my mouth, changed my friends, changed the music I was listening to, changed the places I was going, the things that I was doing. All of a sudden, I found myself reading the Bible, developing a prayer life, going to church 3 times a week. The next thing you know, I volunteered to go to the youth department. You know there's something wrong there. Something's going on. He cleaned up all that stuff. Why? Why? Because the Bible, when the Bible becomes our salvation, it's just naturally going to get in us and begin to work its way out of us and produce godliness in us. But again, couldn't it also be said that if the Bible brings godliness with it, then the sure sign that we don't have the Bible as our foundation is when we're living in carnality? And we're living in wickedness. Listen to this. And instead of order, there's all kinds of chaos. There's chaos in our churches. There's chaos in our homes, our marriages, our families. Is anybody getting this tonight? There's chaos in God's people. There's turmoil. Why? Because we haven't got back to the Word. It's not our foundation. Look at verse 12. Look at verse number 12. This is exactly what's going to happen in Crete. Hang on, I'm almost done. Look at verse number 12. He says, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, that turn from the... What's that right there? You know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying, listen, there's all this chaos over there, Titus. You know why? Because they turned away from the truth and it's no longer their foundation. It's exactly what happens to us. Exactly what happens to us. Now let me give you the last thing and I'm done. Look at verse number 3. Look at verse number 3. He says, "But hath in these due times manifest His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior." Well, you know I couldn't get away from that one. The perpetuation of truth. The way truth is given is through preaching. It's preaching. "Well, preacher, I don't get all this getting together and some guy yelling at..." Well, yeah, but here's the thing. Here's what the Bible says. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." In fact, it says later on in 1 Corinthians 1:21, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Doesn't it just make sense? It just makes sense. Listen to this. If God's Word is the Word from God who cannot lie, it is absolute truth, and it is a firm foundation and that can produce a common faith, eternal life, Christ-likeness in God's children, then doesn't it make sense that it must be proclaimed? It must be exposed, not man's opinion, but rather, "Thus saith the Lord." I'm glad I'm in a church where we just go verse by verse by verse by verse. This isn't story time. Don't get me wrong. I don't have a problem with illustrations and things like that. But I'm just saying to you, if all you got stories and you ain't got the book, you ain't got much. Because this is where the power is at. This is what changes the hearts and lives of men. And so, doesn't it just make sense? Listen, doesn't it just make sense that for a church to be in order, this has to be maintained as the emphasis and center of every service? Fellowship is wonderful. I like fellowship. Coming on a Wednesday night, you're tired from work and been around all the world and all this stuff, and you cut, you're irritable, you don't even want to talk to anybody, but you can't help but to get your hands shook about five times as you come in the foyer. I tried to avoid them. I tried. Next thing you know, you kind of start warming up a little bit. And some of you hadn't had fellowship yet. Hey, listen, activities are fun. Godly music. Aren't you glad for godly music? So thankful for that. But listen to me tonight. None of those things can accomplish what this can accomplish. Wouldn't it just also make sense that, okay, if the Word of God is our foundation, we probably have a little different attitude towards preaching? And here's the other thing. It doesn't make sense that we would agree with or even require that a church hold to the Scriptures as its foundation, but then we would turn around and refuse to do the same in our own lives. Doesn't make sense, does it? "Well, bless God, I go to a Baptist church and the Word of God is our authority." But then you live like the devil? Monday through Saturday? It doesn't make sense. I'm just saying, things are out of order. The church in the building, it's you. So it doesn't make sense that we would sit here tonight and demand that our church have the Word of God as our authority for faith and practice, yet we're not willing to let it tell us how to dress or what to watch on TV. Or what friends to have. Or what things are permissible in our personal lives. Or change the way we speak. Or the music we listen to. It's getting kind of quiet in here. But I'm just saying to you, maybe, tongue in cheek, maybe that's why there's so much chaos going on in your life, in your home, in your family. Because you're sitting in a church that's made the Word of God its foundation. But you're not willing to get broken and humble yourself and go, "You know what? I don't know what I'm doing. But you do. And really, I just need you. And whatever you say, I'm willing to do. You get that spirit and that attitude, that'll help you get order back in. Can I ask you something tonight? I know where we stand as Faith Baptist Church. It's not up for debate. But let me ask you, is the Word of God your foundation? Is it your foundation? Let's all stand. Father, thank you.